Inner Quest explores various pathways through which you can connect with the infinite wisdom of the universe and apply it to personal, professional, and spiritual growth. This program, featuring accomplished practitioners, educators, and authors, is provided by Infinity Foundation, an innovative center for holistic studies and research. We invite you to share this journey with us.
Okay. Or some sort of a signal.
Hello, welcome to InterQuest. My name is Jay Stone, your host for today, and our guest is Dr. Karen Vishney. Welcome, Dr. Vishney.
Thank you. So nice to be here.
It's good to see you again. And is it all right if I call you by your first name?
Well, please do, Jay.
All right. A little bit about our good doctor, both physician and psychotherapist. Karen Vishney now limits her practice to dream work as well as mind-body wellness. But we're going to focus on dream work today. As a core of Karen's practice is the understanding that healing and growth require attention to both body and soul. Karen works with clients individually and in groups and is affiliated with the C.G. Jung Center in Evanston, Illinois, which I visited. It's a beautiful place. So why don't you tell the audience about the focus of your work?
So as you mentioned, Jay, I am both a physician and psychotherapist, and very early on I became interested in the ways in which emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental components were a big part of many illnesses and many symptoms of distress.
And was this before you became a physician or shortly after you became one?
Oh, that's a really good clarification. I would say as I was doing my training, as I was beginning to work with patients and hear their stories, and in particular, in my personal life, as I had my children and experienced complications of pregnancies, and then when I listened to my patients' stories when I was practicing as a physician, that became clear to me. And that became the focus because it's what drew me in. I found that a lot of symptoms, pain, and stress had their roots really in distress that wasn't being addressed by the medical system.
And so where does dreams come in with the emotions and stress and illness?
Okay, so the first thing is that about 80% of all of illnesses have a big component that's stress-related. But stress isn't something that's consistent among people. Stress is determined by our feelings, our past experiences, our perceptions of what's happening in our life. And dreams are one way to begin to work at the roots of our difficulty with stress, is to be able to see what our particular issues are, what we need to address. And it started with myself. During my first pregnancy, I was on bed rest for actually 9 weeks. I had been very busy as a resident running around the hospital. And all of a sudden, I was confined to bed all day, and I had time to think and to dream and to really begin to go inside in a way that I hadn't. And my dreams during that time became very important to me because they seemed to be indicating issues that I needed to address, feelings that maybe I hadn't dealt with up till that time.
Now, are there different types of dreams, like escape dreams? Because you mentioned that dreams are a way to cope with stress, and a lot of people just want to escape. You know, they might use drugs or alcohols, but can dreams be escape mechanism?
Well, anything can be an escape mechanism, Jay. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to differentiate between what the dream process is and what we do with the dream.
Okay.
Even when we're awake, we tell lots of stories to try to explain what's happening out in the world that we really may not have a basis for. Dreams can be the same way. We can have a story about a dream that actually isn't in the imagery itself. So what we really want to do with dreams so that they're not an escape is to look at the feeling component of the dreams.
Mm-hmm. So are you looking at the feeling component of the person in the dream or the feeling component of the person that has the dream, or both?
So you're talking about the relationship between the waking person's experience of the dream and the dreamer themselves?
Well, somebody could be feeling fear in the dream, but go, oh, that'll never happen. You know, and not feeling the experience, not feeling fear, but be aware that the person was dreaming about fear.
Okay, so let me give you a couple of different scenarios, and you tell me if this is what you're talking about.
Okay.
So, say someone is in a dream, mm-hmm. and they have a polar bear in their kitchen, and person looks at the polar bear and says, oh, well, this polar bear isn't really bothering me. Well, then I would consider that an escape, that response of, well, it's not really bothering me. Because if we take the experience of being in the presence of a ferocious, large creature, the natural response is to evoke fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be an example of where we might need to look at where we might have been afraid at one point in our life and we never addressed it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the dream gives us a chance to say, by saying, look, hey, there are these things you may have experienced or may even be experiencing now that are important. So let's take a look at it. Because it takes a lot of psychic energy to shut down those types of circuits and to really escape from our feelings. And so it serves us to be able to look at it in a healthy way.
Okay. Now, are like daydreams and nighttime dreams one and the same?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. I think for some people at some points in their life, the process of dreaming during the day could be the same as night. But what's really important is to make a distinction between fantasy, where like, you know, you say, oh, I have this daydream that I've won the lottery and I have $1 million and I'm going to take it to, you know, to buy a really big house and to take a month and spend on Hawaii. That's mm-hmm. a fantasy, mm-hmm. meaning that the person who has that dream has a reason they want it. They're looking for rest. They're looking for something in their life to be different. Mm-hmm. So that wouldn't be the same as a nighttime dream.
Okay.
So imagination is something that can happen also during the day, but it isn't. It doesn't have that component of, I need to get this done because then my life will be better, or it's...
And do you have physicians now referring patients to you?
Do I have... Yes, I do occasionally. In particular, people who have end-of-life issues mm-hmm. may want to work with their dreams more intensively. A lot of symptoms, pain symptoms, can have as their root distress that comes from our emotional and our spiritual life. There's a wonderful line by poet Emily Dickinson, narcotics cannot still the tooth that nibbles at the soul.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really relevant to where we are in our society right now. We spend a lot of energy trying to always feel good. And we have a view sometimes that any kind of sadness or pain is a bad thing, when actually those sorts of feelings can be a really important guidance for us. And when we numb them, we may wind up, we may not be able to really follow our own inner wisdom.
And so these patients that come to you with end-of-life
yeah.
issues, how are you able to help them? Do they already have their dreams? since you are such a specialist, or do you just help them discover the dreams they're having but may not even be aware of it?
Well, a lot of times people will come and say, you know, I really don't dream that much. And I'll say, okay, well, that's all right. Whatever you do remember, just write it down in the morning. And most of the time, all of a sudden, those people start to dream. And I'll say, I don't understand it. I never used to dream. But now that you've mentioned it, I'm remembering things. Everybody dreams. Whether we remember them or not, most people have on average, you know, 3 or 4 REM cycles a night. And REM is rapid eye movement sleep, and it's the time when the brain is very active, even though our body is not active. And most of our dreams occur during that time of night.
Mm-hmm. So now when people meditate, they also go into the REM state,
yeah,
or alpha state, the relaxed, wakeful state. Do people that practice meditation, are they more likely to have dreams or connect?
Well, I think whenever we attend to our inner world, whether it's through meditation or meditative body experiences like yoga or qigong, we're more likely to have an active dream life.
Okay. So somebody comes to you, what do you do? Look at their medical history? What's the process you go through to help your patients?
The process would be someone would come in and we would talk. Mm-hmm. I would ask them for some basic information about their health and wellness so that I have an idea of what the struggles might be. And we would talk for a little bit, and I would also lay out kind of how I work, which is we always begin with meditation. Mm-hmm. Meditation can be just 5 minutes.
I wish I would have known that, or we could have meditated before the show.
We could have.
Yeah, would have helped. And asked the crew to join us.
Right. It makes a big difference, because one of the most important tools that we all have, and meditation has taught us this, is the capacity to be present with what is in the moment, to not be back in the past with memories, to not be in the future, but to be present. Mm-hmm. And so when we have our attention focused in the present, then it's easier to really be aware of our feelings, of our body. And when we work with dreams, then we're more able to really open to the imagery and the imagination that the dream wants us to pay attention to.
Well, I'm familiar with Carl Jung, who, was he the first person that really made the analysis of dream interpretation famous, or Freud? You want to weigh in on that? Or?
Yeah, I'd like to say something about that. You know, in our culture, I would say that Freud and Jung were really important for helping us rediscover the power of dreams. But dreams have been a part of cultures since the beginning of time. If you look back in the Bible, you have two very prolific dreamers. You have Jacob, mm-hmm, who was a dreamer, and you have Joseph. And in mm-hmm fact, they have very different approaches to dreaming. If you look at Native American cultures or any kind of Aboriginal culture, dreams have always been important, and we've used them in different ways depending on the cultural needs. So they didn't invent them, but they did reopen the world of dreams to many of us.
Okay. And I guess what I was looking or wanted to ask is, Carl Jung, I actually share an office with a social worker, and she's got like a sandbox, you know.
Yeah.
Do you use any tools like that, like art therapy or play therapy, et cetera?
Yes. And a few tools. First of all, I'm very familiar with sand play, and sometimes we'll ask a client to image their dream in the sand. I don't mm-hmm do that at the moment, but that is one way to begin to access the dreams. Art. I have clients who are artists who will draw dream images and bring them in. And the other thing that we do a lot, Jay, is that we'll actually enact a piece of the dream in the office. So
Like drama therapy?
Yeah, a little bit. Because when you do that, and when you use your voice the way your voice is in the dream, and you make the movements, all of a sudden we're able to become much more connected to whatever feelings we're having in the dream. Mm-hmm. And we learn to also to be able to witness ourselves. By all of these modalities allow us not just to experience something, but to be able to be aware that we're experiencing it in a different way.
Now, do you think working with dreams in a group is a good idea? I mean, I know it's just you, and you've only discussed you and a client. What about a group? Let's say a family or you know, a support group.
Well, there are lots of ways to use dreams in groups. And the one of the most powerful and the simplest is just to tell the dream. I strongly suggest that when people tell their dream, that they ask whoever is listening not to comment, no analyzing judgment, no analyzing, judging, or advising. Simply the process of telling the dream and hearing yourself tell the dream is very powerful. And that's one way dreams can be used in groups.
And then when you, privately, are you not making any judgment or analyzing or interpreting?
So there are things that we look for, but it's different than a Freudian interpretation. What we really want is for the dreamer to experience the dream and to attune to those elements that we would say are closest to their essence. As you look at the dream, and we look at it more as a dreamscape than as a story, there are times in the or places in the dream where we're closer to figures that might be very healing, to energies that enliven us, and there are other times where we're with figures or we're involved in actions that really shut us down.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have someone who's in a room with a banquet of food, but what they're doing is picking up the crumbs on the floor. So when that person is picking up the crumbs on the floor, I would say they're further away from their essence. And so one of the things we do is when we go back into the imagery, we look at how is it that the dreamer could possibly partake of these more enlivening energies in the dream.
Okay. So is there a purpose to dreams?
There are lots of purposes of dreams.
Okay.
To say a purpose of dream is like to say, what's the purpose of language?
Mm-hmm.
We share the capacity to dream with animals. So we know that mammals dream. We know that birds use dreams to rehearse their songs.
Yeah, I've heard it said, like, the dog's having a dog dream or a cat dream.
They do. Well, cats, they've actually done studies that show that a cat will stalk prey in their dreams. Rats will rerun their time through mazes, anticipating what they might do. But just as language is more sophisticated in humans than in animals, we have additional functions. Dreams are a source of inspiration and creativity. Dreams are a wonderful way for us to process difficult emotions. And we know this even from scientific studies that couples who have been divorced who are able to process the difficulties of the marriage through their dreams are healthier a year later and have less depression. Dreams are also a wonderful source for spiritual connection.
And have you found that true in your personal practice?
Yes. So I would say for me, you know, a lot of focus on feeling more deeply, feeling connected, recognizing the places when I may be reacting instead of responding to situations, figures in dreams that give us a sense of awe and wonder and love, that really can be a touchstone for us at different times in our lives.
So if we're dreaming like three times
right.
a night, and it takes a lot of work to get the purpose and information from a dream. I mean, you could spend your life instead of eating and working just going through the dreams.
Well, more is not necessarily better, and that's one of the first things I talk with clients about. You don't have to remember every dream.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to write everything about it. Simply capture the images as they appear in the morning. If something wakes you up, fine. And because dreams are, I'll use the word holographic, mm-hmm. meaning that every dream will contain elements of everything else, mm-hmm. you don't have to work everything. And some people would say that, you know, you could work one dream, you know, for your whole life. That's an exaggeration, but you can work with a small amount of material.
And do you work with children, too?
I don't.
And does the dreams, I assume they differ for a child versus an adult versus a more older adult?
Well, from what I understand, the child's dreams don't reach kind of adult form until about age 12.
Mm-hmm.
Not being an expert on child's dreams, I think there may be other contributions to a child's dream in terms of what's most important for them. As we age, our dreams tend to get simpler,
mm-hmm.
not more complicated.
Okay. Can you give an example of a dream?
So, this is a common one, okay? Mm-hmm. This would be a dream would be, you know, I go down in the basement, I'm doing my laundry, and over in the corner I hear a squeak, and I look underneath and there's a child. And the child is dressed in rags and has snot on their face and is kind of smelly and says, play with me. And the dreamer says, you don't belong here. You have to leave. And makes the child leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's a pretty common dream towards the beginning of work. And the way one works with it is looking at that source of life and vitality that many of us have ignored or pushed to the side or covered over in our busy life, in our busy adult life. And so the work would be to begin to look at how we could get closer to that child and really explore what comes up when we think about anything from strong feeling to playfulness, the things that are kind of messy and disturb our regular life.
And so if you were working that in the office, you could be the little child talking to the dreamer or vice versa?
What you would do is you would just say, okay, well, imagine that child is there. Okay, so let's move a little closer. What is it like to see this child? And you let the dreamer experience it and begin to understand all the complex feelings that come up when they approach it. Everyone is different. There isn't one formula. But, for example, if it were my dream, it might be, oh, well, I'm just uncomfortable at the beginning. And, you know, she's dirty and she makes a lot of noise, and in my house growing up, that it wasn't really allowed to be emotional or to throw tantrums. So the child who would do that was really a threat to me. So then you begin to move closer, begin to look at the child. Can you get closer? What is it like for you to allow the child to stay?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't necessarily ask them to be the child. You wouldn't ask them to take care of the child, because actually, as we work with the dreams, we become closer to the child than to our adult identity, oftentimes.
Now, I know you're married with children.
Yeah.
Would you want your children to tell you your dreams? Is it good for a parent to know their child's dream or their spouse's dream?
Well, spouses, it's wonderful if spouses can share dreams without judgment and criticism or using them as ammunition for whatever point of view we have about our spouse.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful way to get closer and to really know each other in a different way. With children, the telling of dreams, same principle. Sometimes children don't want to share their dreams, and that's also okay.
And who were some of the influences on your dream work?
So I've worked with two really good teachers in my life on dreams. One is a Jungian analyst named Marion Woodman, Marion Woodman was very well known for her work with feminine psychology and with spiritual roots of addiction. But what she really taught me about was, first of all, the importance of working with the dreams in the body, and the power of image. You know, I sometimes say that what Marion taught me was how to appreciate the language of poetry. And the language of poetry is really, for me, one of the most important keys into dreams. And then the second big
I want to ask you something.
Yeah.
You said it's important to work with the dream within the body?
Yes.
How does one do that besides connecting with feelings?
Well, as I said, acting them out. So gestures are one way of working with them.
Okay.
So we're talking about really feeling the energies in the dream in one's body.
Well,
so
I think that would be very valuable for someone who's has a physical illness.
Absolutely. In fact, one of the exercises Marion taught me is something called symbol in the body, where you actually would imagine working with the image in your dreams and kind of bringing it into your body in meditation, which is really what we do with guided imagery. But isn't it better to use one's own images than something just got out of a book?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Our own images are a wonderful source of healing. And actually, Marion Woodman had a dream that said, put your images in your body. And she worked with them with her own illnesses. She had problems with her kidneys for many years, and the imagery from her dreams helped her. And so that's a really good point. Thank you for bringing that in.
And you were going to mention your second influence.
Roger Kamenetz, who is a poet. Most people know him because he wrote the book The Jew and the Lotus.
Okay.
He is an extraordinarily gifted dream teacher, and I've been working with him for the last 5 years.
So you actually get to meet him?
In fact, I'm going down to do some programming with him in New Orleans in a couple of weeks. We're doing a public program called the Dream Caravan, where we'll be giving talks and also workshops on dreams.
Well, we have 2 minutes left. Do you want to say a few minutes? A caravan? So you travel and...
No, the Dream Caravan is a public program in New Orleans where we will be giving talks on dreams, giving free sessions of dream work for people who come to the program. And it should be a wonderful day for anyone who's in New Orleans on December 4th.
Okay. So we're running out of time.
Yeah.
I'll just throw this out there. Just say what you want about dreams. I mean,
dreams are our birthright. We've forgotten the language of dreams, but it's something that we can learn that can really enrich our life and heal us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And if you'd like to learn more, you can check out my website, which is karenvishnee.com. And also, The Natural Dream is another website, thenaturaldream.com. And thank you for your interest.
Well, that's awesome. I would think that there's nothing more for personal growth and personal transformation than dreams and healing. So thank you so much. For more information about Dr. Karen Vishnee, Infinity Foundation, the InnerQuest Talk Show, stay tuned to the credits at the end. Until next time, wish you good health, good spirits, and I'm going to add this, good dreams. Thank you.
Thank you.
For more information about this show, our guest, Infinity Foundation, or any of our other programs, please visit our website, infinityfoundation.org, or call us at 847-831-8828.